This is part of Becky Saunders' presentation for the West Australian LearnScope e-learning project planning day, and she presented on embedding PD. Becky Saunders works in teaching and learning at the WA Department of Education and Training.
Anne's asked me to come and talk to you about the process of really embedding professional development. One of the things that biggest challenges we have at the department is we give out lots of funding and lots of money, but we often give out what we call seed funding. So we'll give out funding, but it doesn't really have any sort of life beyond the end of the project. So how do we embed professional development, if you like, systemically through an organisation to actually make it have some impact and some long-term longevity, I guess? So I'm going to talk to you today about your projects and some strategies that you might like to put in place to actually give your project life beyond, I guess, sustainability, beyond sort of the parameters of where you're at now. Any professional development activity is really about change. It's about a change process. I would assume that most of you are here today because you're going to implement projects because you're either changing your practice, so the way that you or your colleagues do things or your organisation does things. You may be changing your ways of thinking about the way you do things and the way you approach things. Or you may be using new or revised resources. And I think for many of you, it will probably be a combination of all three. Is that right? And I suppose with LearnScope, one of the big things is that it is quite innovative. So you are probably going to be the people who are the biggest change agents within your organisation. So it's interesting to think about what constitutes change and how change works. There's lots of models on change, there's lots of theories, and there's lots of research. I'm just going to play around with a couple that I think are quite accessible, and they actually make a lot of sense. This one is actually based on a guy called Michael Fullan, who comes out of ICUT. And for those of you, and I know Kim sat there and a few others who may be familiar with the Instructional Intelligence Program that we run, our whole project is based on this model of change, and the way we do our professional development is based on this model. But what it basically says is that any change process goes in this sort of a cycle. We have an initiation phase, which is what you're sat in right now. You've got in your projects happening, they're getting off the ground, you're thinking about your planning, how you're going to make it work. You then move to the next stage, which is implementation, which is the make it happen bit, if you like, and you start things running. The hardest bit for anybody and the biggest challenge we have is to get people to this level here, which is institutionalization, which is a horrible way, but another way of saying it's embedding it. So it's making it really how you do things. It becomes the way you do things. And we often talk about this in terms of systemically affecting an organisation. So to actually institutionalise any professional development or new activity or new process, we're actually aiming to get it institutionalised. Those of you who may be involved with things like AQTF or anything like that will know that this is the hardest part, is trying to get everybody in your organisation institutionalised and all singing from the same hymn sheet and all having a shared understanding. So any project or any change process has these sorts of challenges. Some facts about change, which are, I guess, for you, things you'll probably come up against, I know some of you probably have projects before in this area, is change is complex. We often get conflict and disagreement, and they're normal parts of the process when you're trying to develop new things with people or work with teams. Problems are our friends, which sounds a bit corny, but is actually true. The whole issue of problems, I know it sounds a bit sort of weak and pathetic, but if there is a problem or an issue in implementing your project, it's there for a good reason. It's telling you something very interesting about your project or the place you are with your project. And everybody's experience of change is different. A lot of the research on change states that it's actually a behavioural and emotional response. If we have anything or there's going to be any change in our life, most people react from an emotional perspective. How is this going to affect me? What's this going to mean for me? And we have an emotional and behavioural response to it. Process of actually going through change is seeking to exchange your reality with other people. I know that sitting in the department as I do, it's very easy for me to get hold of a project and have a really good, clear understanding of what I think it's about and how it's going to be implemented. Probably the same for Anne with LearnScope and a PDA. But when you go out there and start seeing how people are playing and working with it and interpreting it, it can be very different from what I sort of thought it should be about. And that's good points to actually have a chat to people and say, well, how do you think this project's going to go? Where are you at with it? Do you think this? So take time to exchange your reality. Any change initiative will take time. The research shows us that any minor change, for example, things that you're doing right now, to actually embed it and institutionalize it into an organization of the normal way people work and normal practices, you're talking about 3 to 5 years. To embed a major change initiative, and the example that I often think of is the implementation of training packages, you're talking at least 5 to 10 years to get a whole system and whole organizations all sort of institutionalized with that way of working. And I think now with training packages, we're on their 11th birthday, you can still see maybe within your own organizations issues. People are still grappling to come to terms with these things and using them in a shared and consistent manner. So change takes a long time. And there's lots of research and stuff that underpins that. But just be realistic about what you can achieve. I did this presentation yesterday, and Sue asked me if I'd seen a really good model that she thought was very useful in terms of thinking about people that you may be working with from a project view, is how people actually adopt change. And she pointed me to this model that I was familiar with. So she was looking at, I guess, embedding of PD and the impact it's had. One of the models that she uses is a model that I'm sort of familiar with, which is from Rogers, which is about 1995. And he talks about when you actually, we call them innovations, so any change in research terms is called an innovation. So within your projects, if you're starting to roll this out, you'll find you have certain groups of people in your projects. You'll have your innovators, which are probably you sat here right now. These are the people who come up with the ideas, who come up with the passion, and who come up with the direction. They're a very small percentage of your group. We then have another group which we call early adopters. These are the people who will get on board pretty quickly and begin to run with the things that you're rolling out. We have an early majority who will then adopt pretty early. We have a late majority, and then we have the laggards, that he calls laggards. And I'll give you some...
Laggards.
Who wants to be a laggard? Sorry, you're in the top 2.5%. You've had it. So characteristics of these groups. Your innovators are pushing and leading change, just like yourselves. Your early adopters are people who like to try out new ideas in a careful way, when they have a very strong opinion of how they think it's going to work. They're not people like me who'll think, oh, it sounds fantastic, let's go for it, over we go. I'll give anything a go if I think it sounds like it's reasonable. Early majority, these are people who are careful to accept change, but they're more quicker than the average person. And then we have a late majority. These are the diehards, who you often know them in your organization, who will change if they're pushed, but they're very skeptical and reticent about change. There's the people who sit there and go, oh, yeah, I've seen all this before. Here we go. Yeah, this will come, this will go. Yeah. And then we have the laggards, who a very good friend of mine says, describes these people, and it's really how he describes them. He says, these aren't the people who are burnt out. They were never lit in the first place. But I think we can all relate to that. I always think of that when he says that, I guess they were never even lit. And again, those are people who are incredibly conservative. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but when it comes to change, they're very critical and very traditional. They don't like the norms being challenged or the normal ways of working being challenged in any way. So those are some people, or some of the types of people that you might see when you're trying to actually put your change and your processes into place. And the good thing about understanding how people react and how people operate within change is that you can actually distance yourself. One of the big things I suffer from is actually taking a step back and saying, this project isn't about me, it's about the process of change and how people adopt. It's not an intrinsic thing that someone's picking on me, it's about the process of change. And another key thing that a friend of mine who does this quite a lot said to me, if people come up with a question, or they challenge you, or they're reticent, or they're negative, they're exactly where they need to be. So what you need to do is recognize where they're at and then pitch your response to their level. And an example that he gave was when he was doing a workshop, when he had a very, very negative approach to some of the things he was rolling out, and a guy came up and was very abusive to him and said, oh, it's all crap, I'm not going to use this. And he said, I could have stood there and said to him, do you know the research on change? Do you know this? Do you know these stats? He said, but for me to actually give him that information was not where he was at. He couldn't hear that. He didn't want to hear that. So what I did was take that step back and say, yeah, you're probably right. I'm not going to push you to come along. Don't have to do it. If you think I'm wasting your time, please leave. If you can pick up something, that's great. said at the end of the 3 days, when I'd left him and he'd had time to think about it without the pressure, he'd come full circle and was one of his biggest advocates. Not saying you're going to change people around, it doesn't always happen, but just to understand why people react and act in ways is a useful thing to help you through that process. Another thing that's quite characteristic of change is the implementation dip. It's good to start out with lots of enthusiasm, lots of positivity, but it's very common once a project gets going is to run out of steam or to hit a brick wall. And it's called the implementation dip. So we'll be going along fine and then everything just goes. Maybe you lose a team member, maybe something goes wrong, maybe someone gets sick, maybe somebody challenges it, a key supporter in your organisation leaves. All those things can happen when you're implementing professional development. And you can hit the implementation dip. That's quite a common sort of, I guess, pit stop along the journey of change. That is part of the normal process. Some of the things that Anne also asked me to talk about was thinking about the way that you'll implement some of your professional development. I know that you will have people coming on your teams, and when I've spoken to Anne, who will be partaking in lots of different types of PD or different ways you're going to be delivering that PD or helping people learn. And there's some interesting research being done in this area. This is sort of grounded research by Bruce Joyce and Beverly Showers in the late 80s, and it's something that I play around with a lot in some of the evaluations that I do and some of the things that I do with PD. They looked at awareness, comprehension, and transfer in terms of how people engage with professional development. So there's three main areas. Awareness is really just having a knowledge of, oh, yep, I've heard of that. Yeah, I sort of got the idea. Yep, fair enough. Comprehension is actually having understanding. So do I actually understand the concepts that they're talking about? Could I sort of, you know, recall them? Could I repeat back what was said? Or we have another level, which is transfer. And that's when that embedding really takes place. That's when people have actually transferred their learning into behaviours that they do on a regular or a routine basis. And what they found was they looked at a range of different professional development delivery models. The first one that they looked at was input, which is what's going on right now here. I'm stood up here as a talking head, talking at you, giving you lots of information. And they found that if you just get input, we'll have a high awareness level, a low comprehension level, but the likelihood of you going away and transferring this into practice just by hearing me speak today for 20 minutes is about 2 to 3%. It's very low. If I combine the input with modelling and demonstration, so I'll say, okay, let's have a, this is how it might look, let's give you some examples of it, let's go away and see how some of them work. We still have a high level of own awareness, similar level of comprehension, but our transfer marginally increases to about 10%. If I then send you away and say, okay, go back to your organisation, start putting some of this stuff into practice, come back and check for understanding if you can see how you're going, we find that the transfer level sort of stays about 10%, but we actually get a greater comprehension. We understand it because we're able to link it to our practice, so we have a greater understanding. We own that knowledge more. But then if we back that up with observation and coaching, so someone like myself or Anne or another person comes out, or you might have PD experts in your college, you might even be one yourself, where you're actually helping people, providing them with feedback, you're watching them, you're coaching, maybe you should try this, have you thought about that, here's some things you could go away. We find that our awareness is 90%, our comprehension and our transfer is 90%. Now it depends on the type and the nature of PD that you want to implement, which one of these you're going to be targeting. Sometimes it's not always appropriate that we give observation and coaching. Sometimes it's entirely appropriate that we give input alone, telling people about a new initiative or something that's coming out. They don't have to transfer it into practice. But for most of the professional development, and I would assume for you, you're looking at changing people's behaviours and maximising their learning from this process. So think about how you're going to structure some of your professional development. Are you going to provide coaches? Are you going to give them some models, let them go away and practice, come back? That whole action learning cycle of actually appreciating what's going on and combining it, practice and theory together. So that's just an interesting model to be aware of at the back of your head, that it is some of the research that comes out in terms of how you structure PD. It's also useful for thinking about how you embed professional development systemically. Because if I want to change an organisation's way of doing things in a particular way or the way people think, if I'm just going to give input all the time, my likelihood of success is going to be quite low.